back to the Brittany Hughes Show. Happy Thursday, everybody. It does not take much to be a pop star these days, apparently. I guess we probably already knew that. What in the world of the Miley Cyruses and the Billie Eilish. I don't think that's how you pronounce her name. I think it's Billie Eilish. I'm not sure. I came on to that like 2 years after she was a thing. I had no idea who she was. I remember seeing, what in the world is a Billie Eilish? Not a clue. My tastes in music tend to be a little bit more old school. I actually prefer people that can, sing and play instruments and write interesting lyrics. And I don't think that that's as common these days. So maybe I just am not, up to date on popular artists or whatever. Half the time, if I do happen to catch the highlights of something like the Grammys on over there on X or Twitter or Facebook, whatever, most of the time I have no idea who those people even are. I don't know. If you're anything like me, you watch the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade, and most of the people on the floats, you have no clue who they are. Nor, frankly, do I care. Because it doesn't, like I said, take a whole lot to be a pop star these days. Most of the time, you can just auto-tune to some, generically written lyrics while you prance about half naked. That'll usually get it done. If that doesn't work, you can just throw in a little Satan worship and you'll probably get an invite from the Grammys. But apparently, if you're really in a pinch, if you really want to be famous, if you really want to be a pop star, but you don't have what it takes, you're not a particularly gifted singer, you can't string a tune together, you can't write a song, there's really nothing talented about you, just try castrating yourself because you'll shoot right to the top of the charts. Case in point, Dylan Mulvaney. You remember Dylan Mulvaney, don't you? He's the trans TikToker who literally the only reason that this guy is famous is because he pretends to be a girl. The only reason he's famous. He's the one that chronicled his days of girlhood over on, what was it, Instagram, I think, and dressed up in little girl clothes and pigtails. Is very, very bizarre, very disturbing, very weird. Not just weird because this was a guy pretending to be a girl, but the fact that an adult male was pretending to be a little girl, very bizarre and disturbing. But he raked in billions of views on social media, recording his transition into a woman. Spoiler alert, by the way, didn't work. Still a guy, still very much a biological male, no matter how much makeup he slathers on or what clothes he wears or what body parts he chops off. Still a biological guy. And he's racked up a slew of endorsement deals. Sorry, not sorry, Bud Light didn't really work out with them very much. But, tons of makeup brands and all clothing brands have hired him to model their products that they're trying to sell to women. He now pals around with left-wing celebrities at award shows. Again, the man has no measurable talent whatsoever. The only thing he's ever done of note is record himself dressing up in little girl clothes. And apparently that's enough to make him famous. And anytime you ever see a red carpet anywhere, he is now usually on it. Why? No one with any common sense really knows. But there he is. And now, as if that weren't enough, as if he has not, just fried your eyeballs enough with this insanity, Dylan Mulvaney has now debuted his newest pop single. Oh yes. Oh yes. Pop single. He's now a recording artist. Yay. As if we needed to add that to the insanity that is our musical sphere over there in Hollywood. His song is called Days of Girlhood. It shares a name with his little saga that he had posted on social media chronicling his journey as a transgender woman. And I say this to my best friend a lot. I tell her, if I suffer, you suffer, right? If I have to see something that makes me want to pour bleach in my eyes and scrub out my brain with Lysol to try to forget it, you now have to be subjected to it too, because, that's what friends are for, right? If I have to see something heinous and make me want to vomit, then you get to be subjected to it too. So, in that vein, I'm going to play you a little clip here from Dylan Mulvaney's new song, Days of Girlhood. Here we go. Wake up, stay up all night, fall asleep in our makeup. Mom brought me into the world. Taught me how to girl. Best friend coached me how to text the boy toy that I'm dating next. Girls who help show me the way, they're why I'm in it, girl, today. These are the days, these are the days, these are the days of girlhood. Holy stereotyping, Batman. Oh my goodness. All right, let's get into this for just a second. First of all, be grateful. Be grateful that the only thing that I did was play you a clip, because the video that goes along with this song, I guess if you can generously call it that, it's got Mulvaney frolicking on a pool deck in a two-piece bikini while, of course, singing about how all his gal pals have taught him how to live like a girl, because he didn't inherently know, because he's not one. So there's that. And he's bebopping to this, you know, beat that sounds like it's from the early 2000s. It's this bubblegum pop sound. And all of the props in the video are pink, by the way. And the whole entire thing is like, it's like a Mad Lib of female stereotypes. There's bubbles, and there's like pillow fights, and it's very bizarre, by the way. It's very disturbing, because on the one hand, you have Mulvaney, who's wearing a wig, very visible wig, blonde wig, with pigtails. And he's dressed in most of the video like a little girl. Like a little girl. The style of the clothing is like a little girl. And everything is this bubblegum pink color. And there's a kind of a feel of innocence here. And it's interspersed with scenes of Mulvaney. Try to hang on to your gag reflex here, because we're still talking about a biological dude. He doesn't actually look masculine in the video, okay? Because he's not really that, but neither does he look particularly feminine. He actually kind of looks like he's got the body of like an 11-year-old boy, and he's an adult male at this point. And the images of him dressed as a little girl, dancing around in bubbles, you know, frolicking by the poolside with some other, I'm assuming, biological females. Lord only knows at this point. You can barely tell. But it's interspersed with images of him in lingerie, lounging around on a bed and drinking champagne in a bubble bath. So we've got this disturbing dichotomy between the little girl imagery, right? The innocent imagery, and a dude dressed in lingerie, writhing around on a bed, talking about days of girlhood. If you can't see the sexual perversion here, if you can't see, this is not just a man who believes he's a woman. There's something even more sinister and deviant going on here. The juxtaposition of imagery of little girls with the sexualization of lingerie on a bed. There's a lot more to this here. And it kind of gives the game away as far as the LGBTQ, the transgender, whenever you see these pride parades in the streets, right? And it's not just about glitter and feather boas and making people feel like they can be their authentic selves. It's always interspersed with bondage. It's always interspersed with pole dancing. There is a sexual deviancy that is plastered all over this sort of sheen of innocence that they want you to believe that they're pushing, right? But perhaps just as offensive as watching this biological male in a wig strutting around on a pool deck in a two-piece and heels are the lyrics to this clearly ingenious piece of art, namely the fact that they include just about every single stereotype about women known to, well, men, because he is one. Here are some of the lyrics to this song. Again, meant to detail girlhood, right? Monday, can't get out of bed. Tuesday morning, pick up meds. Wednesday, retail therapy, cash or credit. I say yes. Thursday, had a walk of shame. Didn't even know his name. Weekends are for kissing friends. Friday night, all over spends. Saturday, we flirt for drinks. Playing wingman to our twinks. Sunday, the Twilight soundtrack. Use my breakdown in the bath. These are the days of girlhood. Not even kidding you. Those are the lyrics meant to describe girlhood. Of course, from a man's perspective, because he doesn't actually know what being a girl or being a woman actually is, he has to cosplay this, right? So these are just sort of some stereotypes. These are some things that he thinks of when he thinks of girlhood, because again, his brain is broken. And just sort of assuming he had a hand in even writing this, and it wasn't just some, you know, C-list lyricist out there in Hollywood who probably lives in his car and, you know, eats out of the dumpster. These are the lyrics of this song meant to describe girlhood. Because, of course, the life of every actual woman, you know, we throw around credit cards and we hook up with random dudes before popping on a corny rom-com and downing a bunch of pills. You know, and this is on the day that we actually pull ourselves together enough to deal with our lives, pathetic and shallow creatures that we are, because most of the time we're too lazy to even get out of bed, right? This is spoken like a true person who has no idea what real women are actually like, probably because, you know, again, he's not one. This is so offensive. It's offensive not just because here is a gender-confused man trying to verbalize what he thinks of as girlhood because he has no idea what girlhood actually is, making a video filled with all types of stereotypes about girlhood, overlaid with sexualized images of girls. That's not the only thing that's offensive about this. What's offensive about this is that this is the agenda. These are the people. These are the gender-confused, mentally ill people that we as a society are being told we will respect. We will include. We will rewrite our societal rules all the way down to who can share a locker room and a bedroom with our own children, our own daughters. And it's people like this. It's people who have this perspective on what being a woman actually is. And here's the problem, because I see a lot of people, well-meaning conservatives, well-meaning people on the right who are absolutely fed up with this, who are rightfully disgusted by this. Believe me, I know I am one. But who comment on stories like this, like, why are we even talking about this? This is ridiculous. This is so stupid. Get it off my screen. I don't want to know about this. This is ridiculous and idiotic on its face. It's perverted. Just ignore it and it'll go away. Here's why I say that that is a mistake. Here's why. According to a new Gallup poll released just this week, nearly 30% of all Gen Z women aged 18 through 26 now say they identify as LGBTQ. 30%. That's nearly one in three U.S. women between the ages of 18 and 26. Gallup found that the percentage of American adults overall who self-identify as lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, or otherwise queer has skyrocketed to an all-time high of 7.6%, up from about 3% in the early 2000s. Of those, the greatest increase by leaps and bounds has been seen among Gen Zers, which is the most recent generation to have achieved legal adulthood. Of Gen Z adults, so again, we're talking about American adults between about 18 and 26 years old, of Gen Z adults who said they identify as LGBTQ, women were nearly three times as likely as men to self-label themselves as something other than heterosexual or, you know, identifying with their biological gender. You think you're outside of that in some way. Gallup found that of all Gen Z women, a whopping 20.7% said they were bisexual. Only about 5% identified as lesbian. This is very interesting. Not just the fact that nearly one in three Gen Z women say they identify as LGBTQ, but the fact that the vast majority of them, the single greatest category among them, are women who claim to be bisexual. This is incredibly telling because while identifying as gay, just straight up gay, only like other women, no men for me, or even transgender, which we've seen a skyrocketing of those numbers as well, not trying to discount that, but identifying as gay or even transgender, that takes a certain level of commitment, right? Both personally, societally. But identifying as bisexual, see, that allows for a heterosexual person who really is only attracted to the opposite sex, but it allows some wiggle room for them to self-identify as LGBTQ without actually changing their behavior, right? If you say that you're bisexual, well, you can still be a woman who exclusively dates men. But as long as you say, oh yeah, I've been attracted to a woman before, I'm bisexual. See, now you fall into the protected, revered category of LGBTQ people who our society, thanks to the rabid leftists who have up and lost their ever-loving minds, they say they are now almost a venerated subset of humanity. They are a special category. You get to claim victimhood and oppression points if you fall within that category. So if you don't really want to claim that you're gay, because you're not, and if you don't want to be, you know, transgender, because, you know, that just seems like too much, and you don't want to be a man, you can just say, well, I'm bisexual, right? That makes me cool. That makes me trendy. I'm a part of this movement. Doesn't matter if it's actually true or not. The fact that so many young adults are identifying as LGBTQ because so many are identifying as bisexual, that gives the game away. This is a social contagion. This is a trend. This isn't real. This isn't something that children and teenagers are coming up with on their own. This isn't their authentic selves. This isn't who they really are. This isn't something that they would have been in a vacuum, having not been taught about this by their teachers, by, you know, the insane adults in their lives, by Hollywood, by entertainment, social media. This isn't something they're just stumbling across in their own minds, in their own feelings, in their own identity. This is not authentic. This is a social contagion. And it's a social contagion in part because of people like Dylan Mulvaney, who you and I might find ridiculous. We might find this insane. We might say, this isn't worth the time of day to even give consideration to. But it's all over social media. It's all over the entertainment industry. It is all over the material that your child, that your grandchild is consuming all day long. It is saturated. The school environments that we have put our children into. That's why this is important to understand. That's why this is important to call out and spend time on. This is a social contagion. Another social contagion, by the way, that's taking over our nation is, and we're going to switch gears here a little bit because there was a lot to talk about this week, and I'm not even going to get to half of what I wanted to talk about. We're just kind of having to, you know, to pick and choose here because, again, it's about a 30-minute podcast, and we got to roll through a whole bunch of stuff. Another social contagion that's taking over our nation and is incredibly disturbing, but nobody wants to actually call out for what it is because, you know, to do so puts you in the spotlight of being a bigot and a racist, so we're not allowed to talk about it. In plain terms, right? We're going to talk about it in plain terms here because it's important. Videos of young black people, many of them teenagers, engaged in all-out brawls in public, including grocery stores, malls, parking lots, and schools. You've seen these, haven't you? If you're on social media at all, I'm not sure how you have avoided it. Almost every single day in the course of doing my job, I come across one video, if not two or three, of people. The vast majority of the time, it's young black people engaged in just straight up like MMA throwdowns. And you see it in the parking lot. You see it in, you know, the Walmart checkout line. And you're seeing it more and more in schools. And this week was no exception. Another DEI win, by the way, brought to you by the same idiots, woke idiots, who pass out gender-confused porn to prepubescent kids. And then we can't figure out why all of our teens are, you know, having identity crises and mental breakdowns, and they're on anxiety pills. Shocker there, right? No linear connection whatsoever. Video went viral last weekend. If you've been living under a rock, you may have missed it. Otherwise, you've probably seen it. Showing a massive fight between multiple teens from a St. Louis, Missouri area high school, during which a black teenager beat a white girl in the head multiple times before smashing her skull repeatedly into the sidewalk. If you have not seen this video, which again, probably have, if you're on social media, if all you do is watch the national news, then you probably haven't heard about it at all. But if you're on social media, if you follow any conservatives whatsoever on, you know, X or Instagram, you've probably seen this video. We had it at MRC TV. You can go look it up there if you haven't seen it yet. I will warn you, it is possibly one of the most disturbing videos I have ever personally seen. And that's saying something because I watch a lot of videos. It's all kinds of messed up. In the video, which does not show what prompted this fight, what precluded this fight. But you see a young white girl get into a fight with a young black girl. They're standing in the middle of the street. There is a horde of what appears to be only black teenagers standing around. Someone is filming this. And in a matter of seconds, the black girl gets the white girl on the ground, beats her absolutely senseless before grabbing her hair and slamming the back of her head into the pavement at least three times. You can literally hear the audible crack of this girl's skull on the concrete. It is harrowing. It is incredibly difficult to watch. The victim, whose name has been identified as Kaylee, she can be seen near the end of the video convulsing on the ground in what appears to be a seizure, which is, you know, common with extreme head injuries. Police responded to reports of people fighting in the street, and they found her on the ground with a severe head injury. She was rushed to a nearby hospital in critical condition. A GoFundMe that's been set up by a family friend now says, as of Wednesday night, that Kaylee is still in a coma. She has not woken up yet. She has suffered massive brain damage, including brain bleeding and frontal lobe injuries. No real surprise there. They won't know the extent of the damage until she wakes up, if she wakes up at all. Meanwhile, a 15-year-old, a 15-year-old, suspect was arrested for assault and is being held at a local jail on assault charges. Many people are asking why in the world she's been charged with assault and not attempted murder when you repeatedly slam someone's head into the pavement, particularly after you've already won the fight and it's not being done in self-defense. Why she hasn't been charged with attempted murder. If Kaylee does in fact pass away, if she does not wake up from her coma, that could be escalated to murder. We'll have to see what happens there. But so far, she's just been charged with felony assault. And of course, it's completely baffling how in the world such a violent assault could have occurred mere steps from East Hazelwood High School. After all, the school has taken pains, we now know, to educate its student body on the importance of diversity and inclusivity, right? In fact, school records show that East Hazelwood High School actually won a Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion Award in 2022. Good for them. Only 5% of students are proficient in math and only 21% are proficient in reading, but good for them, right? DEI for the win. We are diverse. We are equitable. We are inclusive. We treat everyone with respect, right? No, you didn't. No, you didn't. You brought in a curriculum, you shoved a bunch of woke propaganda down a bunch of people's throats, and it changed nothing. That's the problem with DEI. That's the problem with CRT. That's the problem with all of these government initiatives. They don't change a darn thing in the lives of the actual people. They don't change the broken families, particularly in minority urban communities. They don't fix fatherlessness. They don't fix the culture that these children are being raised in that teach them that violence is the answer, that crime is the answer. They don't fix any of the social ills that are causing the problems in the first place. They didn't fix a single thing at East Hazelwood High School. The school released a statement after the fight saying this: "It is a tragedy anytime children are hurt. Bullying and fighting in the community is an issue for which we all need to take ownership and work toward a resolution for the sake of our children," right? We can't blame anybody. We can't put the blame on any one person, any one segment, any one culture. No. We all have to take the blame here, right? This is all of our faults. "The East Hazelwood School District offers our sincerest condolences to everyone involved." Everyone involved. Not the victim who got her head smashed into the pavement. Not her family that'll be dealing with this likely for the rest of their lives. No. Everyone involved. "And we'll offer additional emotional support from our support and crisis team to those in need." I bet they do a lot of good. If it's anything like their DEI initiatives, that'll have some tangible effect, right? "We look forward," they continue, to continuing to partner with our community for the sake of our children. Please be kind and respectful of the families involved during this difficult time and pledge to help work toward the betterment of our entire community." That's how I read this statement. This is a bunch of jargon. This is a bunch of people failing to take accountability, failing to place accountability where it should be placed, failing to call out the actual problem here, which is a culture that has taught our young people that this is acceptable behavior, likely because they see this same kind of behavior at home. But we should all be kind and respectful of the family of the thug who pounded a girl's head into the concrete and left her clinging to life in the ER, y'all. We should be respectful, right? We should offer our sincerest condolences to everyone involved. Because God forbid we call out that while all men are created equal, all cultures are not. All men are created equal, but all cultures are not. Every single person, regardless of race, ethnicity, skin color, doesn't matter, disability, gender, every single person comes into this world with the same inherent value in the eyes of God. But that does not mean that all cultures are equal. There are cultures that are worse than others. And we're not allowed to say that because we get accused of being racist. It's not about race. It's not about race at all. There are plenty of law-abiding, good, honorable black people who do not subscribe to quote-unquote black culture. Just like not all white cultures are the same. Just like how not all Hispanic culture is the same. There are legal immigrants who do not subscribe to the idea that you can come into this country unlawfully, demand something from the social welfare net, and go on to commit crimes because of a general sense of lawlessness and disregard for the nation that you have invaded. There are legal immigrants from Central and South America who do not believe that. This is not about skin culture or skin color or ethnicity. This is about culture. And there is a subset of Black America that has adopted this as their culture, that teaches it to their children. And we are seeing more and more examples of that today. But we're not allowed to say that. Whatever you do, do not point out the relative infrequency of white girls wailing on young black girls while their friends stand around laughing and filming it. Or the national media's consistent ignoring of all of these incidents to protect their preferred victimhood narrative. After all, diversity, right? Imagine, if you will, if a white girl had repeatedly slammed a black girl's head into the concrete, giving her potentially irreparable brain damage for the rest of her life. Imagine if she had sat on a black girl's chest, beating her in the face while a mob of a dozen white kids stood around filming it. Everyone knows how that story would have been reported. Everyone. It would have been screamed from the rafters through a megaphone hooked up to a Bose sound system. But that's not how this story went. This was a black girl who had a white girl down on the pavement, beating her senseless, potentially killing her. We don't know yet. At best, she'll likely be left with a lifelong injury. Her family has been forever changed. But because that's the way this story broke, the national news media is avoiding it like the plague, and none of the rest of us are allowed to point out the obvious double standard here. This whole week, I have seen leftists coming out of the woodwork on social media accusing anybody who points out the disparity between how these stories are handled in the event that a black person is victimized, even in the least sort of way, right? Even a black politician who is criticized for their policies, you can't even do that because you're a racist. But when a white person is the victim, when things are overwhelmingly skewed against a white person, this is how the story is handled. It is buried. Anytime it is brought up, you're told not to point out the race of the victim or the attacker because that makes you a racist. I have seen leftists saying, you're only focusing on race here. It's disgusting that in a fight between two high school students, someone got seriously injured and the only thing you can see is the race of the perpetrator. These are the same people who would focus on nothing but the race of the perpetrator and the victim if the story broke their way. That's the only thing they'd focus on. They wouldn't care about motive. They don't care about history. They wouldn't care about hearing the other person's side of the story. No. But when the racial demographics of the victim and the assailant are not in their favor, then suddenly everybody who points out race is a racist. Here's the truth. The simple truth is that we have had a slew of videos that have hit social media showing black teenagers beating the absolute stuffing out of white students on the street, in classrooms, in cafeterias, in parking lots. By the way, they beat the stuffing out of one another too, so let's not leave that out. It's not like this is solely against white people, but we have seen this time and time and time again. And whenever it happens, the race of the attacker and the race of the person getting the snot beat out of them typically only breaks one way. And we know that because if it didn't, if there were stories to the contrary, then there would be news about it for days. If there were stories about black kids routinely getting their heads slammed into desks or a cafeteria table or a concrete curb by, you know, white kids, we would know all about that. And the fact that that rarely, if ever, hits the news tells you something, because it doesn't exist. And the way that the media handles these stories, the ones that they choose to report and the ones that they don't, they give the American public a skewed perspective on issues of race and oppression in this country, and that's on purpose. They're intentionally driving a narrative of a certain us versus a certain them narrative to further an agenda that ends with government control and dependency. See, if they told the truth, if they actually just reported stories as they happened and let Americans see the actual issues that were happening in this country, then this little picture they want to paint of white people as the inherent oppressors and black people as the inherent victims in this country, you know, they're simply innocent citizens trying to go about their lives and scrape together the remnants of their existence from slavery that ended, you know, 160 plus years ago. That would be completely busted. The entire foundation, the entire premise upon which the left bases this idea that the government has to come in under federal fiat to reconstruct society, to be anti-racist, and take it over and control it down to the tiniest detail of our lives, because we can't be trusted to not be racist ourselves, right? If the government didn't come in and take it over and mandate all of these rules and all of these policies and come in and tell companies who they can hire and tell colleges who they have to accept, if the government didn't come in and rule all of this, then we would have pockets of people who would just be, you know, as oppressed as the day is long. So we need government to come in and fix these problems. And the only way to push that narrative is to give the perception that that problem exists in the first place. If they told the truth about what was actually happening, who is actually being victimized, the stories that are actually coming out of our schools and our urban communities, that whole narrative would be busted. So they have to report certain stories that support certain premises, and they ignore all the ones that prove it false. And see, here's the thing. We as conservatives see through all this ridiculousness. It's not particularly cleverly hidden, especially in the age of social media. Honestly, thank God for people like Elon Musk, who, you know, as much as I may not agree with everything he does, all of his business practices, I certainly would not align with him politically as far as many of his personal beliefs. But I do appreciate his commitment to free speech over on X, formerly known as Twitter, because it's one of the only avenues of disseminating truth and information. Otherwise, the left-wing media behemoth would control it all. And now that's much harder for them to do. It's why places like Google and YouTube and Facebook continue to censor conservative voices, because they can't let the truth be heard, right? The last thing that a leftist wants is for truth to come out. Can't let people see beyond the veil. No pulling back of the curtain, right? No questioning the vaccine. No questioning the narrative. No questioning the agenda. No questioning, you know, critical race theory. But thankfully, we have at least some platforms like X, like Rumble, which MRC TV videos are on, by the way. There is so much we can't post on YouTube. It'll get immediately taken down. Our entire channel will get destroyed. And then what's the point? So we are over on Rumble. We're on X. You can follow me at Real Brit Hughes over there. And we do our best in the age of constant information to keep people informed of the truth that the left-wing media will not report, because it is critical that people understand not only what's going on in our society, not only what's actually happening that the left is not going to report, but how the left is twisting things and weaponizing things and skewing things in order to push their agenda. The trouble is, many of us conservatives, we understand this, right? We see it. We look at Dylan Mulvaney prancing around in a bikini and understand the utter absurdity and perversion of that, right? We get it. Doesn't take us, you know, any convincing us that that is disturbing and godless. We see videos and stories of what's happening in urban minority communities and certain cultures, not certain skin colors per se, but certain cultures that have wholesale rejected the tenets of Western civilization, that have rejected the idea of a foundational family structure. By the way, Black culture is not the only culture that does this, but we have seen how certain cultures and the diversity that we're supposed to respect and ask for more of, right, pouring in across our border, have actually contributed to the degrading of our society and the increased lawlessness and violence in our nation. And we contrast that with the DEI initiatives and the critical race theory and all that garbage that tells us these people are actually oppressed by you, in fact. And if you have a problem with anything they do, or if you have a problem with aspects of certain cultures that contribute to lawlessness and violence, you are inherently the racist. We understand that that is insanity. We understand that that's a lie. But see, our children do not. Our children are inundated every single day with this garbage in their schools, in their programs, in their clubs, on the social media that comes in through their smartphone that is stuck in front of their face for hours every single day like it is Velcroed there. In the movies, in the TV that they consume, all the way down to the preschool level and beyond. Children do not understand this insanity for what it is, this debauchery or this perversion for what it is. They don't see lies for what they are. They do not innately understand that unless they are taught. And we have to keep calling out the lies. We cannot afford to bury our heads in the sand and say, oh my gosh, you know, this is insane. This is ridiculous. This is demented. Stop giving it airtime. I'm so sick of hearing about it. Because while we go on living our lives and refusing to confront this head on, it is coming for our kids. And the polls show this. The polls show it in the way that young adults and teenagers see gender, see their own identity, see racism. They are parroting what they are being taught. And if they're not being taught the truth by you, then they're going to be taught lies by someone else. We are seeing this. Young adults are admitting it themselves. They are confused. They are purposeless, and they are buying into this agenda. And it will become easier and easier and easier to control this country, to control our society. Those who crave power, those who crave control, are creating little robots that will believe whatever is fed to them. And it is up to you and me to educate our youth on the truth. Even if we can't necessarily affect every single young person, we can at least raise up strong young people in our own homes, in our own churches, in our own small communities. Young people who understand the truth, who can discern with wisdom what is a lie. And that is why it is so important to understand what is going on in culture today and not turn a blind eye, because otherwise this propaganda will devour them whole. And with that, that's the Brittany Hughes Show for today. Thank you so much for joining me. I'll see you guys back here next Thursday. In the meantime, head over to Apple Podcasts, hit the subscribe button on the Brittany Hughes Show. That way you won't ever miss an episode. Also, while you're over there, subscribe to the Newsbusters podcast with Tim Graham. That one's on Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays. You got a whole lot of content to throw in your phone, listen to while you're going down the road to work, pick up your kids from school, whatever. In the meantime, hope you guys have a fantastic weekend. I hope the nice weather we're enjoying here in the DC area is headed your way. I'll see you guys back here next Thursday. Have a blessed weekend.